So in tonight's show, we're going to discuss a topic which is much bigger than the amount of time we have for this evening. But we'll just talk a little bit about Ketanim and Choylim on Yom Kippur. All our shiurim are always not meant to be used halach lamaisa, but perhaps this week is even more so not to be used halach lamaisa. We'll just discuss a little bit some of the different halachic issues that come up with both Ketanim on Yom Kippur as well as Choylim. So let's start in the beginning with Ketanim. Shulchan Aruch writes in Tofresh Tezayin, HaTinoiko is mutar mecholelu. We have the Chamisha Enum on Yom Kippur, the five things that we're not allowed to do. So we have Achil and Shtia is one. We have Sicha, Rechitza, Nil Sasan, Votasha, Shamita. So says the Shulchan Aruch, children are allowed to do all of those other things, except Minil Sasandal. Except children are not allowed to wear leather shoes. Why, says the Mechaber, because it won't be so bad, it won't be so dangerous, it won't be so detrimental if they don't wear leather shoes. So therefore, simple reading of the Mechaber sounds like any child, any age, is not allowed to wear leather shoes. Even if the child is way beyond the age of chinuch, even if the child is perhaps even under the age of Havana, you have a six-month-old baby, and you want to put the baby on these little booties, whatever, and you put them on the baby, they're leather. So it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch that that's not allowed. Because Lamaisa, when it comes to Nilas HaSandal, all people are in the same boat. So Mr. Brewer explains the number two. He says, what's Pshat? So he says, what are kids allowed to do? So kids are allowed to have Rechitza, and kids are allowed to have Sicha. Obviously, it's not a gay for kids to have Tashmash Hamita, Vachila Vishtiya. Why? Shalai Gazwa Laktanim. Says Mr. Brewer, they never included children in this ban. And therefore adults, not only is a child allowed to do it on his own, but the adult can even give it to him. Normally something which is asr, an adult is not allowed to give to a child, but here it's not asr. So if you want to moisturize your child, again, some of these things are asr anyways because of Yom Tif. Obviously, let's say, for example, to do some of the sicha would be asr anyways because it's asr to do certain types of shmearings even on Yom Tif. Kol Shekein on Yom Kippur. So therefore, it wouldn't be so negeya, but if you could come up with something which would be mutter al Yom Kippur, it would be allowed for a child, adult to give to a child. So like, let's say for example, to wash a baby. You're going to wash a baby in what type of water? So Mr. Bruce speaks out, V'davka rechitza b'tzayin, it's got to be cold water. Avaloy yuchatzenu b'cham, you're not allowed to use hot water, kol gufoy, I feel huchma b'yemin, if the water is previously heated up. Sharechitza b'cham, ein asum mishum mitzvazin l'vav, because bathing in warm water is not just a problem of Yom Kippur, it's a problem all Yom Tif or Shabbos long as well. So now, says Mr. Brewer, what's the deal with children wearing leather shoes? Says Mr. Brewer, she'ein ze inu lekotim im lo yino, because it's not considered uncomfortable for the child if he goes without wearing leather shoes. If you have the kid not eat, that's very uncomfortable. If you have the kid not wash, that's very uncomfortable. But if the kid goes without leather shoes, it's not going to be the end of the world. Ulafuke, as opposed to achil v'shtiyah or v'chitza v'sicha, she'mo olim legidl hatinik. These things are necessary for the growth of the child. So again, obviously, Mr. Brewer speaks out that all those other inuim, the kids need them. Leather, a baby can go without wearing leather shoes. The 2-year-old kid can go without wearing leather shoes. And therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, they should preferably wear Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur type shoes. So there is a big discussion over here amongst Achrayim. What age are we talking about? A mom is talking about a 3-month-old baby, a 2-month-old baby, a 2-year-old baby. What are we talking about? So Shmuel Vosner writes in Shevet Alevi number 3, he says, "Ulinyan Neil Sasan Lavakotin Ben Beis Gimel Shalom." Let's say you have a 2 to 3-year-old. A 2-year-old, 3-year-old has no idea which way's up. They don't know what Yom Kippur is. They don't know what Tisha B'Av is. So Shmuel Vosner says, "B'monshach Oy Hu Kvar Begeder Efshel Lachanecha." Either that's already Efshel Lachanech, which I don't know how bright the 2 and 3-year-old kids were where Shmuel Vosner lived, but our 2-year-old, 3-year-olds are not up to chinuch. He says, "Harim b'vor b'shulchan aruch tevadil chanuch." Then ain't a begeder zeh, and if they're not old enough, the yochel ahazik atzmoi. It could perhaps become dangerous. The kiyotzba os pshita demote gamle no. So he's presenting the question of maybe at such a young age they taka need that shoe to help them walk or to protect their feet. And if you're going to put them on anything else, if they go barefoot for the day, they could actually hurt themselves. So many achronim point out today the case is actually very reversed. Today there are so many non-leather shoes that are available, right? Every kid wears Crocs today. All the Crocs are not made of leather, even though we had a share many years ago about wearing Crocs. Tamazay on Yom Kippur, we came out that it's mutter. But nonetheless, so many Achrayim say the opposite. Reb Shmuel Vazir was suggesting that maybe a little child, Taka, needs it. What are you going to put the kid on barefoot? The kid's going to hurt himself. He's going to ping himself, whatever. He's going to step on things. But the Achrayim flip it today. See what he's talking about? Today there's so many options, right? So many little kids wear Crocs. Two-year-old and three-year-old babies wear Crocs. So put them on for the same price. You can put the baby on the Crocs instead of putting the baby on the leather. In the Sefer Chanoich Lanar, he writes, the efshad the cotton be yoseb is manenu, if a cotton is very small, efshad the hainu have it rebise. Maybe Hitaka needs that type of shoe footing. Then he would be allowed to wear leather. So again, the similar point that Shmuel Vazner raised, that if you think for some reason that the child needs to wear a leather shoe, because letting the child go barefoot would perhaps be dangerous, so then avada would be mutter for the child to go barefoot. That wasn't what the Mechaber was talking about. And lastly, Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, Yolodim Ketan Apachim B'Gilchomish, Einoi Chayovim B'Ino Nil Sassandl. Paskins, Yaakov, that babies under the age of 5 are not mechoyev in the inui, because without shoes or good fitting shoes, they can hurt themselves. Now again, that's not really the case today. Today, you know, there are so many substitutes for good shoes, so this l'chayra would not necessarily be the case. So many people are makbid today, that even young children, I know my son is 2.5 years old, he's not a gil chenech, I'm not going to lie, he definitely doesn't know about Yom Kippur, so we're not going to put him on, I don't even know if he even has, like, who puts leather shoes on kids today? He put them on sneakers that are made out of plastic. So I'm not going to put him on leather shoes for Yom Kippur, I'll put him on the plastic Crocs like everyone else. This way he feels like he's part of the family, he's wearing Crocs. But the pashtus is, it's hard to imagine, unless you have a special situation, that you would be able to justify giving a small child the leather as opposed to the average plastic that we have. Again, there's a different child. What happens if the kid takes it on his own? Okay, my son also, he likes to take his older sibling shoes and put them on sometimes. Sometimes his sister's shoes, sometimes his brother's shoes. Okay, fine. So let's say I have a 2-year-old baby who takes his sister's leather shoes and puts them on. Am I mechuyev to stop him from putting on the leather shoes? Now, the pashtus is that if I hold that he's not allowed to wear the leather shoes, then I'm not allowed to give it to him either. And if I just said that 2-year-old kids don't need to wear leather shoes, this is not Rebisi, this is not for Ben, this is not for health, this is just because he likes to wear them, so the Chayr, I'd have to stop him. So that's a Shaila in Halacha. Let's say he takes it on his own, at what age do you have to stop him? Obviously, if he's a Gil Chenech, you'd have to stop him, but let's say he's a little kid. So if you look over here, number 6 in the Sefer Hilchos Chag B'Chag, he writes, also the G'doylem Mahanel HaTinoikis Minol V'Sandol Hoyol V'Choyim Lama V'Minol. You're not allowed to put on your child any leather shoe, because they can live without the leather shoe. That even goes for the youngest baby. For a parent to actively put on a leather shoe on their child, that would be even for the youngest child, unless, like we saw from the other Achrayim, there is, you know, medical issues that you're worried that the child will walk around barefoot. Let's say the kid takes the shoe on his own. Then it depends how old the kid is. So my son, who's 2 years old, he has no idea what Yom Kippur is. So then if he takes his sister's leather shoe, I don't have to stop him, because he's technically, he's not beged the chinuch. But when they're old enough, and they understand a little bit about right and wrong, and Yom Tif, and Shabbos, and Yom Kippur, so then you should try to tell them not to do it. So again, you shouldn't put it on the child yourself, but if the child takes it himself, you would not be obligated necessarily to take it away from the child at such a young age. We had a shiur about a year ago, Tisha B'Av. We spoke about the famous theory that's out there, which it's not true, according to many Achrayim, that you are supposed to have a practice fast before your bar and bas mitzvah. Everyone says that the you're supposed to do 3 fasts before your bar and 3 fasts before your bas mitzvah. So we mentioned from Shlomo Zalman that that's absolutely not true. It's 100% not true. Now, what about kids and fasting for Yom Kippur? So we mentioned back then that kids and fasting for Tisha B'Av is not a thing, and it was mistakenly borrowed from kids fasting on Yom Kippur. Now, kids fasting on Yom Kippur is a thing. What are the rules for kids for fasting on Yom Kippur? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch number 7, the Mechaber says like this, Katan HaBerya, if you have a healthy boy, so it depends, Ben Teisha Shalom Shleimus, if he's a full 9 years old, or Ben Esther Shalom Shleimus, he's a full 10 years old, Mechanchim Oysa L'Shois, you give him Chinuch to fast a couple of hours. Ketzad, what does that mean? Says the Mechaber, he basically delay his meals. If breakfast is normally served at 8 o'clock in the morning, so on Yom Kippur morning, you serve it at 9 o'clock in the morning. So everything is an hour later to get the child used to not eating on demand. And you continue adding hours depending on how much the kid can handle. Same thing for a girl who's healthy. Ben Acha says, so let's say you have an 11-year-old. So then, Ben Zachor, Ben Nekeva, Misan Mashlim, and Divisafim. If they're 11 years old, boy or girl, which again you think should be different because a boy at 11 is still 2 years out of fasting. A girl at 11 is only 1 year out of fasting. So the Shulchan Aruch says they fast the whole day, Midivisafim. They fast Midirabon. Why could they the Chanukha mitzvah to give them Chanukha? Some say no, they don't have to finish the fast. Says you should rely on such opinion. If you have a child who's not strong, he's weak, he can't handle a fast day, so then you should be samech on the Ramah and don't let him fast the whole day. Rama points out, whatever age you're deciding to be mechanach your child in eating, you should also be mechanach in the other inuyim. You should also teach them they're not allowed to wash and they're not allowed to shmir. Now, let's say you have a 12-year-old girl, and a 13-year-old boy in one day, they already proved that they are mature on a deraisa level by having 2 years. So then they're like a regular girl, then they have to fast mid-deraisa because they're bar and bas mitzvah. Avol says the Mechaber, let's say they didn't yet show, they didn't produce Shtei Cyrus. So Adain Ketanim Hin Ve'in Mashlim El Medivei Seifim. Amazing. According to the Mechaber, simple reading of the Mechaber, if you have a 13-year-old boy who hasn't shown Shtei Cyrus, so it's only Midirabon. So he only has to finish the fast Midirabon. Says the Ramo, Avol Vafilu Hu Rach V'Kochosh, even if he's very Shvach, Tzarech L'Hashlim. Why the Chashin Hashem Nishu HaSyrus? We're still afraid that maybe the hairs fell off. So, meaning, why don't we just be makel? Every 13-year-old that's having a hard time fasting, just tell me you can be makel. Because maybe you're only 13, maybe you're only midirabonon, maybe you're still midirais, not bar mitzvah. So the Rambam says, no, that we don't do. But katan shupachas miben teisha, if a child is under the age of 9, eim anim oisebi makipuim, he doesn't fast at all. Kadesh shalav leidei sakana. That's too dangerous. You can't make him be inui. You can't make him withhold anything. The 9-year-old needs to eat on demand, and therefore, no concept of fasting. So according to the Mechaber, the first time we start to talk about fasting is once you hit the age of 9 and 10, then you talk about Tainis L'Shois, then once you hit 11, it becomes a little bit longer, and then obviously 12 and 13. Mr. Brewer points out over here, number 8, he says, Umashem, Adaktik, Bismazel, Atzana, Shum, Tinik, Mishnah, Shneim, Esri, Lamaisa, says to Mr. Brewer, you don't find that anyone fasts until they actually turn 13. It's against the Mechaber. The Mechaber sounds like at least once you hit 9 or something, and then when you're 11 or something, but it says in Mishnah Berurah, Mashay Medaktikim Bizmanazel Asana Shum Tinik Mishnah Shtim Esri. No one fasts in the 12th year. Apparently in Radin, no one was doing these. Today it's cool to fast, so every little kid in elementary school wants to fast. But the Mishnah Berurah points out in his time in Radin, no one fasted before they hit 13. Why? He says, Mishnah Bizmanazel Yorduchul Shalaylam, Humanestam Kolkota Eranechshav Kiberius. So Mishnah Berurah points out, because it's harder to fast, I would amplify that a million times today. Our kids eat more than any other generation. So for a kid not to eat, it's really, really painful. So therefore says the Mishnah Berurah that it's too much pain. Unless you know he can handle it. Until they finish the 13th year, means he's fully, he's really talking about the 11th year and then the 12th year as well, that you don't really have to fast. Meaning, he wants to know why is no one fasting until the 11th year. The Ali Rabbi says, not even fasting until the 12th year because of the same reason. So again, with kids, there's much room to be made, even though again, there are plenty of people that try to push the kids to fast a little bit. Hakol lefi hachayil. Okay. Now let's talk about, so that's kids. Let's talk about cholim. So there's a lot of people, Nabuch, some for good reasons, some for sad reasons. Right? We'll talk about the positive reason. You could be a Yoladis, someone had a baby, like Givaldik, someone had a baby within 3 days of Yom Kippur, so they're considered a Chayil. So what's their status? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch writes, Chayil Sha'och Ab Yom Kippurim. Let's say a Chayil Hati Yom Yom Kippur, V'nisiyashiv Daitai, Be'inyin Sha'och Levorach, and they're clear enough in their mind, they're able to make a bracha. They're able to bench. So they have to mention in the benching, they have to acknowledge that today is Yom Kippur. And so the Mechaber comes up with a chiddush over here that when you're eating on Yom Kippur, which is somewhat contradictory, but when you eat on Yom Kippur and you're able to, you should at least acknowledge in the benching, you should acknowledge the fact that it's Yom Kippur. Now the pashtus is, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't write it explicitly, you also have to make a bracha rishayna. A person who eats on Yom Kippur, a chayla who eats on Yom Kippur, could also make a bracha rishayna on that eating. And here the chiddush over here is that he even makes a hisafa in the benching to fit the me'ein hama'ara. We have a dinner, he's supposed to mention what's called the me'ein hama'ara. Now, you mentioned in the benching what's going on at that time. So if it's Yom Tif, you insert Yom Tif. If it's Rosh Chodesh, you insert Rosh Chodesh. So here the Shulchan Aruch says on Yom Kippur, for a Chayla, you insert that it's Yom Kippur. So the Magen Avraham quotes over here, what about Lecha Mishnah? Do you have to eat Lecha Mishnah in Yom Kippur? So the Magen Avraham writes, Uboitzei al Shnei Kikaris. And you're supposed to make Lecha Mishnah in Yom Kippur also. Quotes from the Knesset HaGedolah. Okay? Then he writes, Veli Nira Shein Tzach. Magen Avraham says, I disagree. I don't think you need to have Lecha Mishnah. Why? To like Tiknu came Yom Kippurim, because there was never a takon of Lecha Mishnah on Yom Kippur. And it goes without saying, if you have a choyla who's really not up to it, they're just eating just to survive, but they also don't have to make kiddush. So the Magen Avraham is assuming that there's no din kiddush on a choyla on Yom Kippur, there's also no din of Lecha Mishnah for a choyla. But he writes, since Be'etzem Yom Kippur does not allow you to eat, but you have a het because of Pekuach Nefesh, and for you it's considered like a weekday, it's not Yom Kippur. So you don't do anything. Because, Yom Kippur doesn't create a Siva to bench. Because Yom Kippur doesn't create a Siva to eat. The only reason why you're allowed to eat is because for you, we don't look at it like it's Yom Kippur. We look at it like it's Tuesday. Therefore, says Rabbi Avigdor Katz, there's no mention of anything. We don't treat it like it's Yom Kippur. So we have Machloikis Achreinim. Says the Magen Avraham, V'chein Nirali. That's what I think. I think the Magen Avraham, that there's no Kiddush, and there's no mention of it in the benching. And Pashtus, no Lecha Mishnah either. Because on Chanukah and Purim, which is clearly a ma'ara to mention, the Gemara says that you don't have to mention. Miu ein lahaka, but you shouldn't be mekel kivin shator machmir, because the Torah is machmir. So Magen Avraham says this. I really think there should be no mention of anything in the benching because it's not Yom Kippur, it's Tuesday for the Chayla. But the problem is I can't argue on the Torah. The Torah already says you should, so mention it in the benching, but definitely don't make Kiddush. That definitely you shouldn't do. And it sounds like you probably shouldn't do Lechem Mishnah either. Mishnah Berurah paskins that this din of a Chayla is not only for a Chayla. What about a kid? You have a 12-year-old kid. The kid benches every single day, three times a day. The kid's a wonderful child. His bar mitzvah is next week, but he's not fasting because we learned that it's not good for young kids to fast. He sits down with a challah roll. So does he bench? So Mr. Bruce says the same thing as the choylah. It's the same thing for the lady that has the baby. The same thing for the kid who's 12 years old, 11-year-old, 10-year-old kid. They got a bench, and they bench with the mention of Yom Kippur. Says Mr. Bura, Hatam Kivin the Beteir Ochel Havli Yom Kippurim Kamali Dan Shayom Tif. So Mr. Bura explains, why would you make these haskaras in the benching? So he says, because since for you, you're allowed to eat, so it's like a regular Yom Tif. This is a very lomdish shayla about how to look at Yom Kippur. Do you look at Yom Kippur as a regular Yom Tif, which in theory I should eat, but the Yisurim don't want to allow me to eat? So therefore says the Mr. Bura, that since now you have a het to eat, so it goes back to being a regular Yom Tif with no Isser Achilah, so you make a haskara. While the Magen Avraham would probably tell you that we don't look at it as if it's a Yom Tif of Achilah. It's Yom Kippur, by definition, is a Yom Tif of not eating. You're allowed to eat. The reason you're allowed to eat is because for you it's not like regular Yom Kippur. So Mr. Bruce says, what happens if it falls out on Shabbos? So Mr. Bruce says, if it falls out on Shabbos, you would say Ritzei also. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, "V'yesh makilim b'zeh shafilu yal v'yove ein tzarich leimar." So I took the album "Makam Mitzvah Achilas" of who I didn't show him Ritzei. V'akoponim kiddush bevad de inay lasu. V'yesh chashash baruch levatol. So Mishnah Berurah basically repeats the psak of the Magen Avraham that avada there's no tzad that you're going to say kiddush. V'chinim shachach leim yal v'yove Ritzei kishachal b'shabbos. This kashlam and yishlam leyachsu. So what's the negate to halach lemaisa lechatchila? You should mention all these things in the benching, but b'diavad you definitely would not have to repeat the Shemen Esrei. You can be saying the benching because you can be saying mechan. The Magen Avraham, the Rav Avigdor Katz, that b'diavad you don't have to mention these things in the first place. And Mishnah Berurah makes no mention of needing Lecha Mishnah. It's interesting, he doesn't mention Lecha Mishnah. So the Pashto says he holds you don't need Lecha Mishnah like the Magen Avraham. But if you look in the Moruk Tzia from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Yaakov Emden writes, "I am Magen Avraham Shehiskim Shleilev Tzal Shteki Karois Hachoylev Aichab Yamikipurim." The Magen Avraham again. This is also negated to an 11-year-old. You have a 12-year-old boy. The kid's in yeshiva. He learns Gemara Rashi Tosfos every day. And now comes Yom Kippur. He's not fasting. He's eating at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So should he take two challah rolls? So according to the Magen Avraham, no two challah rolls. According to the Knesset HaGedolah, yes, two challah rolls. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say a word about the challah rolls about the Lecha Mishnah. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the Magen Avraham doesn't buy into the challah rolls. Omnam ha'ikar kedasa soivish etzarich lefteir ashteikim kamay b'shabbos v'yom tif. Says the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I disagree. I think you should have two challah rolls. Shari gam boy loy yored hamon. He says because he thinks that the mon didn't fall on Yom Kippur, the mon fell double portion Erevim Kippur, and therefore you have to have a Zeichel Amon, therefore you have to have Lechem Mishnah. Ubevadi Yored Pepeis Kalechem Mishnah. Okay, so how do we paskin Halacha L'maisa? So again, the Pashas of the Mishnah Bura is that there's no mention of Lechem Mishnah. Yaakov Emden thinks with other Pashas, you have to have Lechem Mishnah. So the Matta Ephraim is an interesting Psak. He writes, you have to mention in the benching on Yom Kippur that it's Yom Kippur. Shama Yal V'Yovei B'Yichas Ben Yerushalayim. Fim B'chab B'Shabbos Omer Tzei V'Chaseinu. U'boi Tzei Al Shtei Kikarois. Says the Matta Ephraim, and you should taka have Lechem Mishnah. V'yesh Mekel B'chol Zeh, and there are those that are Mekel with everything. Shafil Yal V'Yovei Ein Tzarech, and they hold you don't even have to make Yal V'Yovei. Shtei Tikna El B'mak and Mitzvah B'Achilas and Mekol Shkin Shem Omer Tzei V'Chaseinu. V'gam Ein Tzarech V'Tzarech Shtei Kikarois. U'lechein. So as the Matta Ephraim picks sides, he says, well, if it's a pain, if it's hard for the Choyle to get the second Lechem Mishnah, then you don't have to do it. Okay, so let's say you have kids. A 12-year-old kid is breaking his fast on a challah roll on a Yom Kippur day. It's not a big deal for him to get two challah rolls. So it sounds like from this Matta Ephraim that maybe Taka should go and get two challah rolls. But then he writes, "Avol kiddush ain't the lasses afim yitzah." But there's definitely no kiddush. The yeshlochus lebrachu atol v'chein yeshlinig l'arim shoychem yam kippurim v'chein hayolad. So again, from this Matta Ephraim, I would get the impression that if you have a 12-year-old boy or an 11-year-old girl that's going to be eating on Yom Kippur, maybe the taka should take lachem mishnah and they should have instead of one challah roll, they should taka have two challah rolls. The Machtzis Hashekel explains over here what's pshat. There was no lachem mishnah on Yom Kippur. He said, "V'yesh tam l'dov." The Tam Lechem Mishnah Zeichel Mon. Why do we have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos Yom if that's to commemorate the Mon? Kedisa b'Shabbos Daf Kofi Zayin Mabezich Siv Lekdu Lechem Mishnah. We gathered. We took two portions in Erev Shabbos. Obiyoy Makipur Nid Lo Yard Bamon. So it says the Machzah Shekel. Avad the Mon didn't fall on Yom Kippur. So if the Mon didn't fall on Yom Kippur, presumably we had two portions in Erev Yom Kippur. Mikom Mokom Misvarim Be'Erev Yom Kippur Lo Yard Pishnayim Kamev Erev Shabbos. Tired of the Machzah Shekel. He does not think that we got double portions in Erev Yom Kippur. Given the Hutzruchum Mon the Yom Kippurim. He says, why would you get double portions? The reason why we get double portions on Friday is because we need one portion for Friday and we need one portion for Shabbos. Tired of the Machzah Shekel, who needed a portion for Yom Kippur? You don't need a Yom Kippur. I'd rather know what you do Yom Kippur night. What would they eat Matzah Yom Kippur then? Meaning the years when they're in the Midbar, so they only got one portion on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yom Kippur. So they ate on Erev Yom Kippur the whole portion, and nothing fell, and then nothing fell till the next morning. So I don't know what they did on Matzah Yom Kippur. He says, This is an interesting svara. Maybe the taka did fall double portions in Erev Yom Kippur. Why? For the cholim. They knew what to eat on Shabbos. They knew what to eat, I'm sorry, on Yom Kippur. But he writes, so he says, at the end of the day, maybe yeah, maybe not. He's rather convinced, Machzah Shekel, he's open to the notion that maybe the taka did fall pishnayim. Double portion on Erev Yom Kippur, and still nonetheless is no din Lechem Mishnah, because Lechem Mishnah is only instituted when you're supposed to be eating. Not when a punk happens that a lady had a baby, 2 days before Yom Kippur. So again, the feeling I get is that most contemporary Achrayim rule there is no Lechem Mishnah for a Chayla, and presumably no Lechem Mishnah for Ketanim either. Again, there's no major downside. If the kid wants to have two Chalor rolls, good, but it seems like that's not the practice. So Shmuel Kamenetsky writes this, number 15 writes, V'omme moiv Rabbi Shlito, Shiyesh Lutchos. Kiven the lechem mishnah nitan lachil b'yom kippurim lachin ain din levtzar shtei lechem kam yishlam medaleka takanto. He wants to tie navada on a regular Yom Kippur. There's no din lechem mishnah. Avo b'shabes kedai mitzar hashabes levtzar al beis kikaros yimishlo. He comes up with a big chiddush. This is a big sugya which every rabbi talks about. Shabbos tshuva when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Though the rules change when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Meaning we keep on saying now that on a regular Yom Kippur, a chayla and a katan does not have to make kiddush. And a chayla doesn't have to have shteyal lechem mishnah. So it says Reb Shmuel, but not if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Because we know there's a famous Reb Kivega maybe, Achrein, Mechsam Sofer, that maybe when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, then maybe you do have to reckon with kiddush. Because kiddush on Yom Tov is only derabbanan, kiddush on Shabbos is deraisa. So here Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky takes it a different angle. He wants to tell you that maybe you don't need to have lechem mishnah on a regular Yom Tov, regular Yom Kippur. But perhaps if Yom Kippur shechalis b'Shabbos, which is not the case this year, maybe then Yitaka would have to have lechem mishnah. Okay, if you look in the Elof Lamata, he says clearly not like that. He writes the Efshe the Gam lechem mishnah tzarich b'Yom Kippurim shechal b'Shabbos. He says maybe he says Simon says similar to Reb Shmuel that maybe when Erev, that when Yom Kippur falls on the Shabbos, you should have to have Lechem Mishnah. But he writes, "Umestimus haPoiskim leNir came," but from the reading of the Poiskim, it doesn't sound like that. No one seems to make this case that when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, then you have to have Lechem Mishnah. So they assume that when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, it's the same as a regular Yom Kippur, and no Lechem Mishnah is needed. Okay. So if you look in Shmir Shabbos Kolchase, he writes, "Choyle shetzorich lechol yom kippurim. If a choyle needs to eat on Yom Kippur, chayv levarach bracha rishon. He's got to make a bracha rishon, even though it doesn't say necessarily some afurish in Shulchan Aruch over here. But in other places, it's clear that if you're eating for medicinal reasons, you have to make a bracha. Avol al lo yikadish, but there's no kiddush. For who gampotem lechem mishnah? Paskins the Shmir Shabbos Kolchase, no lechem mishnah. Afilu chal yom kippurim kishabbos." Now, like Shlomo Kamenetsky, he thinks like that even if Yom Kippur falls on in Shabbos, there's still no reason for Lechem Mishnah. But he has to wash his hands for bread. Kaloimer ad leperkayad, he has to wash up till like you would for washing for regular for bread. If he's going to eat regular bread. If you're eating pachas, it's different. But if you're talking about a real chayla, that they're going to eat a full, again, a kid. A kid's going to eat an entire challah roll, then they should wash their hands like they would for regular bread. And he adds off that they should add into the benching like we saw already from the Shulchan Aruch. Now here's an interesting shaila. The Shmir Shabbos Gechazi talks about, let's say you have three men are in the hospital together of Yom Kippur. They all had major surgeries before Yom Kippur, and they're all chayli shesh basakhanas. And they're all sitting together in the room on Yom Kippur, and they're all sitting there eating challah rolls. Should they bench b'zimun? They're all allowed to eat. It's Yom Kippur. They're all allowed to eat because they're all chaylim sheish besakona, and the doctor says they have to eat. Should they bench bezim? So Shmir Shabbos Kolchase writes in number 18, Shloisha shetzriichem lechol b'yom kippurim. Because again, just the background over here is that the halacha is there's no concept of zimun when you're eating be'isr. If what you're doing is not mutter, either you're not mutter or the food's not mutter, then there's no concept of zimun. I'd say Reb Moshe Feinstein has an interesting truth where he talks about a case where a guy joined the Zimun incorrectly. There was 9 people eating Shal Shadus and they wanted to have 10 people to bench Bezimun. So the guy strolls in after Shkia and someone gives him food to eat. So the Shaila was, maybe that's considered eating Be'isr because you're not supposed to eat after the Shkia. So maybe there is no concept of Zimun. Okay, answer Shaila, Metataz, also give. So Shmir Shabbos Kolchase says, what do you do in such a case? So he writes, Yizor l'chadchilo shle lechol kechad. He thinks, avoid the Shaila. Don't have 3 people eating together. That 3 chaylim should not eat bread together. Why? Kadesh le ischayivu b'chay v'zimun. So you should not run into the problem of zimun. So Shmuel Shabbos Kolchase is basically saying, I don't want to get involved in that shayla, so to avoid the shayla, don't eat together. On the footnote, he explains, he tells you to look in the Kaf HaChaim, that the Kaf HaChaim brings a shayla about it, and he writes, he says, that's why I suggested that since it's a machlokes apoiskim, if there'd even be zimun in such a case, so I suggested to never eat 3 people together. Then he writes, v'gam b'di'evet ein l'zamin. He thinks that even b'di'evet, if 3 people did sit together, they shouldn't have a zimun. Why? He thinks the Kaf HaChaim is a shitose. The Kaf HaChaim is a big chiddush. The Kaf HaChaim thinks that if a choyl eats on Yom Kippur, he doesn't make a bracha rishayna, which is sounds a shtickle against other halachas in Shulchan Aruch. But in any case, so the Kaf HaChaim is a shitose. But he writes in the bottom that I heard from Reb Shlomo Zalman, the Eish Estapik, the Hoyel Vat Torah Amrav Yisem. Since the Torah said that on Yom Kippur is supposed to be uncomfortable, Elo Shevneiach Hechrichem Tzuichem La'avar V'lecha. But these people have to eat. He wants a taina that maybe by definition there's no such concept of kvias. Kvias means we're all eating together. There is no such concept of people eating together in Yom Kippur. In Yom Kippur we're all supposed to be uncomfortable. We're not supposed to be eating in groups. We're eating because punkt we have a heter. But we're never really considered a group eating. And therefore he thinks in that case it's very questionable if b'chlal you should bench b'zimun. Yakut Yosef says it's not even a shayla. Yakut Yosef, it's partial without a shayla you bench b'zimun. He says, why? He says, he explains in the footnote, because we're not doing any Yisr. We're eating because we're allowed to eat, because we're all chaylim. We're eating beheter, we're eating keheter, and therefore we're eating food that's kosher. He says, without a doubt, they should eat bezim. The Nitta Gavriel points out one more thing. Yitol mayim achreinim kerogo. Not only do you wash before the bread, not only do you say Yalav Yavod, not only do you bench a Zimun maybe, but you even bench you wash Mayim Achreinim also. Because for this person, it's a regular Suda. If it's a regular Suda, I don't know if you're supposed to sing Zmiris also on Yom Kippur if you eat. Probably not. But it's a regular Suda. If it's a regular Suda, so you have to treat it like a regular bread meal and all the rules pertaining to a bread meal. Okay. That's for those people that are going to be allowed to eat. Before Yom Kippur comes, you know they're allowed to eat. They have a Chayla. The doctor said, you have to eat. Nothing to talk about. Now let's talk about a shayla that comes up so often. I've been involved in it a couple times already. It's mamish. It's one of those things that people don't think about when it comes to Yom Kippur. Let's say you have a person who's not a great faster, or a person who's a borderline medical condition, but the doctor says they can fast. Or I had this with a case with a woman who was pregnant, right? But they know that if they go to shul, their status is going to get worse. Meaning, if I stay home the whole day and rest on the couch, I'll make it through Yom Kippur fine and dandy. I'll be shvach, but I won't have to break my fast. But if I go to shul, I walk to shul, I sit in shul, it's going to put me over the top. I'm going to have to break my fast. So is it kedai to go to shul to then cause myself to have to break my fast? So Shmir Shabbos Kechaseh writes it, and so do many other contemporary Achareinim. They write the following. Adam cholish shekosu lotzum ulech lebeis kneset. The person's having a hard time fasting, and it's hard to go to shul. Mutav she yitzon v'yishke v'mita. It's better to stay home and sit on your bed. V'ein loy kol heto lecha v'lishtoy safil b'shu'urim k'dei she loy kayach lecha lebeis kneset. There is no heto for you to be able to eat a little bit so you can have the energy to go to shul. And you're doing a mitzvah when you sit home on the couch and you sit home in bed. Because again, Rabbi say, it doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash, Tzarech Lalechas Lebeis HaKnesses Yom HaKippurim. The only thing it does say in the Chumash is you have to be Be'ino, you have to fast. So you have to fast, you got to do whatever you can do to make it through the fast day. The fast day, fasting is the most important part of Yom Kippur. Everything else is all extra credit. So if you know that going to shul is going to jeopardize your ability to fast, it's a davar pasha that you're not supposed to go to shul under that circumstances. And then on the footnote, he brings even a bigger chiddush from Reb Shlomo Zalman. Let's say a guy says to himself, listen, if I go to shul, I'm going to have to do pachas. If I stay home, I'm not going to have to do anything. So you might say to yourself, listen, pachas is not really considered breaking your fast. Maybe it's kedai so you can go to shul. Reb Shlomo Zalman says, absolutely not. Says, right, that's the answer. The answer is the whole... First of all, you could have it at home. Being in shul is not really anything. It's nice. It's a hit. They're going to be wrong. But it's not a din deraisa. Pachas mikashir is still a big question. We're going to talk about it. Even if you're eating pachas mikashir, it's not mutter pachas mikashir. It's just there's no kares for pachas mikashir. But for, you're going to do pachas just so you can sit in shul and hear the chazan sing the sound of taikif. That's ridiculous.
So,
yeah, so that I don't want to talk about. So that's what I don't want to talk about this year because I might want to save it for next year. Is the big tumult now that a lot of paiskim are talking about that maybe it's kedai instead of doing pachas mikashir, maybe it's kedai to run an IV because pachas mikashir is still awesome. It's just that there's no kares. Running an IV might only be nesed the rabbanon because it's not derech achila. Then the problem with running an IV, you'd have to start the IV before Shabbos. Because starting the IV on Shabbos would be a shayla of chabura, which would right to be nisa deraisa. So that's a big shayla that contemporary poskim are grappling with. And now again, now everything is more easy to run an IV. It's not as complicated as it used to be. You don't need to be in a hospital. You know, you can sit in your living room and run. You can sit in shul probably with an IV. They're probably going to make them, wireless and this, that, and the other. So as technology evolves, this might be a better option. So someone was hacking me a few years ago about some places on Yom Kippur when they come across a patient who's not fully dehydrated but he's on his way to dehydration, then instead of giving him pachas, they first run an IV, which is very funny because running an IV, you're right, is only necessary to rabban on als the achila, but the chabura is a deraisa. To run an IV, you got to poke him. He's going to bleed. So it would be very strange to imagine that they'd run the IV first before. Obviously, again, I'm not saying it's partial. If you come across a patient who's dehydrated, you're not going to start pachas. It's too late. He's not going to get pachas. It's not going to do anything for him. Giving an ounce every nine minutes or an ounce every 4 minutes is not going to be. You're not going to bring them back. It's not going to work. So you got to know. But I'm saying, if you come across a patient that's on the border and they say, no, why should I give him pachas? Why don't I just run the IV? So again, most achroinim are not a big fan of running the IV. Even though, again, in Lumdis, it does sound like, especially if the IV was put in before Yom Tov, it does sound like you're limiting the amount of Isur. But I didn't want to get into that this year. I still might want to talk about it next year, so Bli Neder will put it in a hold. So Reb Shlomo Zalman's chiddush is that even if a guy says to himself, listen, I'm going to go to shul, so if I go to shul, the worst case scenario is I'll do pachas. So Reb Shlomo Zalman, stay home. It's not kedai to go to shul. I tell this to people all the time. I tell this to people on Tisha B'Av. I tell this to people on Yom Kippur. Same thing with Tisha B'Av. Right? I tell people if I need to go to kinnis, you don't need to go to kinnis. What's kinnis? Kinnis is not a davash b'ktusha. Say kinnis in your house. Don't say kinnis. Don't say anywhere in Shulchan. Don't say you're supposed to say kinnis. I don't mean you're not supposed to say kinnis, but you don't have to go to shul for kinnis. So kol shekein Yom Kippur doesn't say anywhere you have to be in shul the whole Yom Kippur. If you're not feeling well, make sure you stay home. Or I tell men if your wife is not feeling well, so you're going to come home from shul also. and you're going to watch the kids so she can rest, or you're going to splurge for a babysitter. So my youngest, when my wife was pregnant with my youngest, it was a random Kippur time, and it was early on, which is usually very difficult for the women. So my wife wasn't sure how she was going to make it through Yom Kippur. So I called up a choshev of a rav, and I said to him, you know, my wife is, you know, so he tells me, you have to come home from shul. I said, I know the halach. I said, the only problem is I'm the rabbi. It's not so easy to slip out of shul for 2-3 hours in the middle of musaf, you know, and go home and help your wife. So Baruch Hashem, she did okay on her own. She didn't need my help. But that's pasha, that's talacha. Whether you're not feeling well or your spouse is not feeling well, if you can make sure someone can fast long on Yom Kippur, that's your obligation. Shul is a very second behind all of that. Mamash had a lady call me up a few years ago. She was pregnant and she wanted to walk to shul. But she told me, if I walk to shul, I'm going to have to break my fast. What should I do? I said, stay home. Because you want to walk, you want to be in shul? What do you want to be in shul for? Yeah, fasting is the most important thing on Yom Kippur. You got to get through the fasting. Everything else is extra credit. You know, everything else can be done by yichidus. You know, fasting is the one thing you want to do. Okay. So let's talk about the next level of situations. Says the Nita Gavriel. This is very typical. Hachoshesh b'goyshe mo'oid. Guy has a splitting headache, migraine, you know, caffeine, whatever. Says this Nita Gavriel, afilu b'oifin emotel likach truf, if he's allowed to take 2 Tylenol, which can't see talking, if you have a very severe headache, you'd be allowed to. Why? Because the Ramesh explains that becomes like a chayil she'im basakana. The medication has no din of food. Taking a capsule or a Tylenol has no hana, it doesn't taste good. So that's not a shayla of food. So that would be mutter if you're very severe, you have a very, very severe migraine or very severe whatever. But he writes, odiv she'ye chalisha ma'at be'em satfila melikach chufa. So he says a different level. So the first case was, go to shul and break the fast or stay home and not break the fast. So we said it's possible you stay home. Here's the shayla is, should I come home from shul, take a nap? Or should I pop 2 Tylenol and continue in shul? So Nita Gavriel writes, no. If it's either go home, take a nap, or pop 2 Tylenol, you should go home and take a nap first. Why? So Pashim Shah, you'd say, because Lamaisa, at the end of the day, medication and Yom Tov is not so Pashit. So maybe that's why. So he says something which I don't understand. He writes, K nearly, Shagam Shem Avata, he did a chelik mislichas vapiyutim, even though you're obviously going to miss part of the davening, this is obviously better than running into a shayla of medication on Yom Kippur. And you'll have a little bit more energy than saying the tefillas v'aviduim b'chazor shashatz v'lufum tzara agro. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean, but the point is, he thinks that the mice taking medication always runs into a shiloh. So if you can avoid it, so again, for some people that nap won't help. Sometimes that 20-minute nap won't do anything for you. So if it won't do anything for you, so in that case, you'd be allowed to take the pills. Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky Pasuk is the same way also. He writes, you have a very bad headache that you need to lay down. Medina motolikach trufa she'ena ruulach. At that point, you'd be allowed to take a medication that does not, that's not right for eating, like a capsule or a tablet. Kidei lish of hakaev to get rid of the headache. Ach b'chigav na'odaf l'nochtas. He also says in that case, if it's either pill or nap, go with the nap. Why? So what he says in the bottom, I definitely don't understand. He writes, I'm very shlita. Because if the headache is so severe, you're already at the point of a chayla she'en by sakana, that you are allowed to take medication on Yom Kippur. It's better to rest a little bit. Even though obviously if you're going to go home and take a nap, you're going to miss out on part of davening. He thinks that somehow because you're fasting, the medicine might have an ill effect on you. It somehow might make things worse. I don't know. Not really sure where that's coming from. Hakolafia person. I don't know. I guess you take stuff on an empty stomach, but it depends. Depends on what you're taking. I don't know. To me, my gut feeling would be if a person is taka very shvach to the point that it's mutta 100% to take the 2 medications, then he probably should take the medication. If he's taka chayin shibah sakonis, so chayin shibah sakonis, mutta take medicine on Yom Kippur. Okay. Now, the truth is this whole notion that we mentioned earlier about staying home versus leaving is a mafurshach samsaif. Right, we all know from the last 2 years of Corona that we keep on talking about pandemics. Now, there are plenty of pandemics before Corona hit. Right, one of the famous pandemics that the Chassam Sofer dealt with was the cholera outbreak. Chassam Sofer has many tshuvas about it. So here's one of the famous tshuvas, number 24. The doctors say, the expert doctors say, if a person leaves his house on an empty stomach, it's very dangerous. I guess his immune system is down when he's fasting. So the experts told, again, experts of the 18th century, 19th century, early 19th century, told the Chassam Sofer that if a person goes out on an empty stomach in the streets when there's cholera, he's gonna get sick. So we're not sure what to do on Yom Kippur. Hashem should, just heal everyone. But what do you do? If leaving your house is dangerous, so what do you do in Yom Kippur? The wording that you told me that the doctors say don't leave your house, I was medayik that it's only if you go out, but if you stay locked in, so then the cholera doesn't get you. So what's the shayla? So stay home. If you're telling me now that you can fast inside and not fast going to shul, so don't go to shul. So before Shacham Sefer. So this notion that it's either fast or go to shul is mamish before Shacham Sefer. Shacham Sefer paskin. It's a no-brainer that if it's either go to shul or fast, it's avada, fasting is more important. So stay home. You don't go to shul. That's the end of the story. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about how much one is permitted or not permitted to eat on Yom Kippur. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, ha'oichel b'yom ha'kippurim ki'kaiseves. If a person eats the size of a kaiseves, kaiseves hagasa, a fat kaiseves, chayiv, he's chayiv karis. Right? We learned in the Sunday morning share that Yom Kippur is unique because Yom Kippur carries karis. So if a person eats in Yom Kippur, he gets karis. What's the difference between karis and misad yishamayim? We spoke about that in Sunday morning shurim. The differences. Says the mechaber, v'mupachas, how much is that? Fupachas mikibeya ma'at. It's a little bit less than an egg. V'shir zeshov l'chodam bein l'naneis ben l'oig mel chabosh. This amount is true for all people. All people are the same rule, no matter if you're a little midget, that's a nanas, or you're oig mel chabosh and you're a monster truck. Everyone has the same size. Everyone is not allowed to eat the shir v'kesev is gas. Now the truth is, usually on Yom Kippur, it's not usually a shayla of eating. Most of the time, it's usually a shayla of drinking. It's usually liquid, but we'll just mention achila. Again, I didn't really spend so much time going into the shulam for achila. I remember I was once talking to a friend of mine who's a rav, who's been a rav for a while. I think he told me that in his shul, they use peanut butter. Apparently, peanut butter is supposedly very good for bringing back blood sugar level or other things. So that's a trick. He told me that a lot of people that are chayla that need, so not always is water always so good, but sometimes the peanut butter is very healthy. So I'm not really getting involved in the food area tonight. How much exactly is the thing's going to measure in food? Because it gets a little tricky. But again, about 9 out of 10 times, usually the shaylas are more liquid based. You need a drink. Usually liquid. So much. We'll see some numbers, but again, not all foods can always go into a shot glass, you know. Right, the liquids are easy, right? But even foods, they talk about foods in fluid ounces. You know, it's very hard to eat food in fluid ounces. So like, you know, so that I'm just going to leave off. If anyone knows that they'll be in that shayla, obviously they should reach out to a rav to discuss how that's going to work. So let's talk about why is the shir kaiseves gasa. Again, that's a little less than a kebeya. Now we know when we talk about macholim, the general rule of eating is usually what measurement? It's usually a kazayis. Now a kaiseves is a little less than a kebeya, right? A kebeya is double a kazayis. So we're way off on our measurements over here. Why in Yom Kippur is it a keseves and everything else is a kazayis? And Mishnah Berurah explains, because you have to remember Yom Kippur never says don't eat. The Torah never says lo yisoichel. The Torah never says don't eat. Whenever the Torah says don't eat, so we have a tradition, however we know it, that lo yisoichel means kazayis. Achilas be kazayis. It comes up for Sukkot a little bit. How much do you have to eat the first night of Sukkot, and how much are you not allowed to eat outside the Sukkot? So it comes out for the first night of Sukkot, you're not allowed to eat more than a kebeya outside the Sukkot. But on the first night of Sukkot, you have to eat a kazayis in the Sukkah. Now that's not consistent. So we spoke about this, we had this to share once on a Sunday morning, why that's not necessarily consistent, I'll pilom this. But in any case, the Mishnah Berurah explains number 26, Avagav de b'chol nisuya ha'teira mishayirin b'kazayis. Even though normally we work with kazayis, so why all of a sudden over here we work with a new share called a kaiseves? So Mishnah Berurah explains, because kol zeh hechlik sivi achil, that's whenever the Torah says eat. The Torah writes something different. The Torah says, "Ta'anuas nafshech, be uncomfortable." So therefore, since the Torah says to be uncomfortable, so Chazal figured out that if a person eats less than a kezeves, he's still not considered full. He's still considered uncomfortable. He's still considered hungry. So it's a different din. On Yom Kippur, it's not tolin achila. It's tolin inu. Therefore, the shiurim reflect that as well. It's a big yisoy to keep in mind that the shiurim for Yom Kippur are not your typical shiurim, because the isur on Yom Kippur is not your typical isur. Your typical isur is the Torah says don't eat something. So then we say that's a kazayis. But here the Torah didn't say don't eat something. The Torah said be inu. So therefore, even after you eat a kazayis, you're still be inu. So therefore, until up to a kaiseves is not usur on Yom Kippur. Then the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ochal the chaz of ochal." What happens if you eat and then you stop and you eat again? Right? So how does that work? So Shulchan Aruch says depends. Im yesh mitchilas achila b'shein atzeif achila achreina kedei achilas pras. If in the beginning of the first eating to the end of the last eating it was within the time it takes to eat a pras, then mitzarf. Then it all adds up and you'll be in a violation. Let's say a person eats half a kesevis at 1 o'clock and the other half of the kesevis at 1:02. So now he consumed the full kesevis, so he'd be chayv karis. Even though I didn't eat the whole kesevis at one shot, but since it was in with kedei achilas pras, those two things come connected. Now, shir achilas pras, how long is achilas pras? So there's a machlokes b'shoinim, yeshayim arba beitzim. Some say the time it takes to eat 4 eggs, v'yeshayim shalosh beitzim, and some people say the time it takes to eat 3 eggs. So we'll see how that plays out halach lamais. Now the truth is, the shir of kedei achilas pras comes up in a million areas in halach, not just on Yom Kippur. It's actually interesting, we'll see Bli Ned in a few minutes from Rav Moshe and Etshuva. It's on Yom Kippur is when we give it a different number. Right, the numbers we work with usually is anywhere between 2 and 9 minutes. It's negeh to bracha achreina, it's negeh to achilas matzah, maybe negeh to kazayis in the sukkah. There's a lot of times when you need an achila to be one, you want to know what's considered one long eating. So there's a range of anywhere between 2 and 9 minutes. We'll see how to calculate that for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, it's very negeh. Let's say you're giving a chayla a little bit. So you give the chayla less than a kesevis, and then you want to give the chayla another less than a kesevis. So how much time do you have to elapse between the two? So Shulchan Aruch has two sheets. One sheet is kedechas pras, the time it takes to eat 4 eggs, and some say 3 eggs. Now the next line in Shulchan Aruch is very important. Says the Shulchan Aruch, avada, eating less than the shir is still also. We pass in chatsi shir also min ha-toira. You're not allowed to eat chatsi shir, because you don't get kares for it. This is why the argument that the Rabbanim are making, they say, if I give someone pachas mikashir, he's being over an iser. He's not getting kares, but if I give a guy an IV fluid, it's only nisa de Rabbanim, it's not even nisa de Raisa. So that's a very compelling argument that maybe it's more kedai to give the choylem IV than to give them pachas. If I give you pachas is chatzishir. Chatzishir is awesome in atayra. But it's no karis. Okay, shkarech, there's no karis. But it's still awesome. But if I run an IV line, that's considered achilo shaloi kederech achila. Shaloi kederech achila, according to many achrams, only this is the rabban. That's the argument for the pro-IV IVers. Okay, so let's see how this plays out lahalacha. Says the Shulchan Aruch. So how much are you not allowed to drink on Yom Kippur? So achila is a kesevis. Fine. What about liquids? Says the mechaber, hashoyis b'yom kippur mole lugmov. If a person drinks mole lugmov is a half a cheekful, right? So it's really kim mole lugmov. So it's a half of one cheek. Mishayrim u'mishayrim b'chol adam l'fi mashahu. So here it's not like food. When it came to food, the Shulchan Aruch said everyone's in the same boat. Everyone who eats a kesevis is already over. Under a kesevis is no, it's awesome, but there's no karis. Says the mechaba, when it comes to liquids are different. Liquids, everyone's cheekfuls are different. Says the Shulchan Aruch, mishayrim b'chol adam l'fi mashahu. Hagod l'fi goydli v'akot l'fi koydni. Everyone's different. Mishtabur suggests that if a person knows he's going to have to eat on Yom Kippur, he should test it out. He should test out his cheekful, his cheek size before Yom Kippur. Says the Shulchan Aruch, kimay lugmav, v'hu pachas me'reviyas b'adam bein. It's going to end up being less than reviyas for your average person. V'chol hamashkim etzta from the kashir, and any liquids add up. So let's say, for example, a guy has a half a moly lugmav of orange juice, then he has a half a moly lugmav of water. So those two liquids combine to be a moly lugmav. If you drink something which is not considered, let's say you drink, you know, vinegar water, or you drink, you know, pickle juice, something disgusting, so that might not be considered. Fine. Same case. So again, so what do we come out with? So when it comes to food, the amount that's also, the amount that is chayv karis is a kesevis. Pachas mi kesevis is also a no chayv karis. But if it's within kedei achilas pras, it's also a problem. What's the shift for liquids? So the shift for liquids is mole lugmav, one half cheekful. Doesn't matter how, it matters how big you are. If you have a bigger cheek, it's a bigger share. Smaller cheek, smaller share. Says the Shulchan Aruch, all liquids can join. How much time has to elapse between drinking beverages? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Shasim ad b'chazav shasim. Let's say a guy drank a little bit, then he stopped. So a guy took a half a mole lugmav at 1 o'clock, and not a chayla. Guy who's stam in a vari and he wants to be beat the system. So he took a half a mali lugmav at 1 o'clock. At 1:03, he took another half a mali lugmav. So Shulchan Aruch says, Shasim ad b'chazav shasim. He had a little bit, and then he had more. So im yesh mitchilas shtiyah rishayin atzoyv shtiyah achrein u'kedei shtiyas revias. If he had the time it takes to drink a revias, that's very little. Very much less than kedei achilas pras. So according to the first sheet of the Mechaber, the way we measure it is not kedei achilas pras. The way we measure is the time it takes to drink reviews. The emistarf the kashir v'imlav emistarf. V'yesha imrim. But some say no. Shashir tziruf hashtiris k'dei achilas praskim tziruf achila. And some people say no. At the same time clock you have for eating, you have for drinking. So this is a very, very relevant machlokes rishonim. Why? Because if you hold, you can use k'dei shtiris, and the clock is much, much shorter. Why is the clock much shorter? Because the time it takes to drink a revius, how long does it take to drink a revius? I think some places say between 30 seconds and a minute. So if you hold it, that's the whole time limit. So the fee is that you can have a guy drinking basically every 2 minutes. Every two minutes you can have a little less than a mali lugmav, which is huge. If you hold it, works with like kedei achilas pras, so you might have to wait 9 minutes. So that's a game changer. You want to give a guy a drink a guy who's borderline dehydrated. So you want to start giving him liquids. So if you're going to go like the first shita, so after every 2 minutes he gets another half a lugmav, which is let's say an ounce. So every 2 minutes you give the guy an ounce, that's a lot of liquid consumed in a relatively short time. But if you got to wait 9 minutes, it's ridiculous, but it's a significant amount of time you're going to have to wait. So we'll have to see how we pass it. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah says in number 29. It sounds like we really passing like the first shita, which means the first shita holds that the clock for drinks are different than the clocks for eating. But the gro says we go like the second shita. So that's a big shayla halacha. What do? Do we go with for drinks? Do we work with kedei achilas pras, or do drinks? Do we work with kedei shtiyas revius? And again, the truth is, hopefully we'll see it inside, but if not, lamaisa, the paiskim amekel, if the condition warrants it. Meaning, if you have a chayil that can handle 9 minutes, so you do the drinking every 9 minutes. But if you see the guy is he needs it, then you could be saying on these rishonim and perhaps give it to him more frequently. So now we're up to a chayil. With this backdrop, now we can talk about a chayil. Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'yashkohu pachos mi'oisishim. If you're dealing with a chayil, so you give him to drink less than a mali lugmav. The yishu ben shtia l'shtia, and how long do you wait? Kedei achilas arba beitzim ulapachas yishu ben shtia l'shtia kedei shir shtia s'rivius. So the Shulchan Aruch says you gotta wait the time it takes to eat 4 eggs. That's the kedei achilas pras shir. Vim amdua she'en ashurim halolim aspikim loy, but if you see it's not working, so here the Shulchan Aruch sounds like that you really gotta wait kedei achilas pras. Okay, so you got to wait for liquid for kedei achilas pras. Well, which is probably going to be 9 minutes. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, kishem achilin esa ovra oiveres, when you're giving to a woman who had a baby, oyesa achila, or a pregnant woman, machilin oisemat mat kedei shistav lishir. Again, you want to space it out. This is what the concept called pachas is. Pachas is the idea of what we give to a chayla because it's not the amount that's chayv carbs. Hilkach, machilin oisem kishnei shlishi beyabein. We give like 2/3 of an average egg. The yishu, and you wait, how long do you wait? Kedei achilas arba beitz. You wait the time it takes for 4 eggs, not 3 eggs. Vashtiyo, what do you do for beverages? Says the Shulchan Aruch, yivduku b'choyle atzmei kam mihishis, alkenu l'tzarecha v'yiru kamay l'gum. You test them out. You put it in, half a cheekful, that's how much you give. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, when it comes to a cheekful, it's your cheekful, not the world's cheekful. You should fill up your mouth and then spit it out into a cup. And you should also test how long it takes you to eat 4 eggs. And that's how long, because again, kedei achilas pras is the time it takes to eat 4 eggs. So you should find out how long it takes you to eat 4 eggs. Says the Shulchan Aruch, but says the Mishnah Berurah, "I am Chuvas Chacham Sofer Shekosiv Shebehefsek Ben Achila Achila Yikashir Tes Minutin." Mishnah Berurah does quote the Chacham Sofer. The Chacham Sofer says it should be 9 minutes. Now it's interesting. Between food and drink, you don't have to wait. Between drink and drink, you have to wait. Between food and food, you have to wait. But not between food and drink. Well, yeah, food and drink can go back to back. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva number 33. Rav Moshe says that even though there's a huge different opinions about how to calculate a kedei achilas pras. Rav Moshe writes, "V'tzarich lahachmir b'shir achilas pras the sefer macheshes shupach mishalosh minutin. Tashir shatish minutin afshemachmir lemishin tzarich lechem yamikburim who shir shleim estava klal." So for a chayla on Yom Kippur, you should try to go 9 minutes. If it's too much, you can do 4.5. I saw the Macheshes who says it's 3 minutes. That makes the most sense to me. Okay, so he says he's really choshish on other areas for the Macheshes that it's 3 minutes. For Yom Kippur, he's not going to go so short. So for Yom Kippur, it's 9, unless it's uncomfortable, and it's 4.5 minutes. If you look in the Sefer Shiurei Torah from Chaim Noah, he basically has anywhere between 2 and 9 minutes. I think the standard is 9 minutes, but they're willing to drop down to 4 minutes, some drop even down to 2 minutes if it needs it.
Can we go with the Havagai Shul, as far as we know, he's okay, he's normal, he's on that job. He says, I have to drink.
So question is why? Why is he afraid of what? Is he going to dehydrate? What's he nervous about? I don't know. It depends on what's going on with him. I don't know. You got to ask a doctor. That's right. The Gemara says, if the Chayla says it, it's complicated.
If the doctor doesn't think he needs it.
It gets complicated. You have to figure out what's cooking. But yeah, depending on the situation. Yeah. Very quickly, what else we have over here? Let's just see some of the numbers. So if you look over here, number 38, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky thinks that the shear of Moli Lugma for your average person is 1.5. He thinks that you should take 1.25 ounces. And Rabbi Forsheimer says he spoke to doctors, and the pretty standard procedure is you give a chayla 1 ounce every 9 minutes. I think that's what most Rabbanim do today. They hold that a Moli Lugmov is a little over an ounce, so you want to give less than a Moli Lugmov. So basically what they give the Chaylim is 1 ounce every 9 minutes. Again, if you think they need more, then perhaps you can give them a little more as you see fit. There is a Shaila in the Paiskim, do you have to make that water bitter? Is a Chayla allowed to have enjoyable water? So Abeliashiv held, it depends on what situation you're in. If you're already a Chayla, you're ready in a matzav of a chayla, then Rabbi Yashiv held you don't have to make the water bitter. But if, let's say, for example, it's preventative. Let's say you have people that the doctor says you have to take this pill every day of your life, even on Yom Kippur.
So you're dealing with diabetics,
sugar. Right, diabetics, or blood pressure, or a lot of other things. So then Rabbi Yashiv held, in that case, Itaka, take the pill, but you have to take the pill, and you have to make the water bitter. You have to make the water not taste good. So if you go online, you can see Rabbi Yair Hoffman has a whole concoction of how to make the water bitter, but not unbearable. Because it's unbearable, you can't drink it anyways. So he has a concoction where he puts in onion powder and garlic powder and salt. He has a whole concoction of how to do it. So ayin sham if it's neger. Shmuel Kamenetsky does write that he thinks that you don't have to. He thinks that even if you're just taking a pill, you don't have to make the water all sweet and sour. You just take the water however you need. The last two Maamar Karmis, I don't want to read inside because of it's late. He talks about an interesting shayla that someone asked me actually last year on Yom Kippur. What happens if a person faints in shul? Which happens, sadly, very often. People faint in shul. What do you do with that person? Do you start giving them pachas, or do you start just giving them regular? So Shmuel Kamenetsky assumes if someone faints or they feel very dizzy, you treat them like a chayla, and you already start giving them. You don't start with the pachas. You give them already, you give them whatever they need. You not start medactic. The other thing Shmuel Kamenetsky talks about, which I also don't understand, is fever. He has all these different amounts. If a person has X amount of fever, he's already a chayla, he doesn't fast. Again, fever doesn't always mean I'm not a doctor, so I'll be mocked in that. But if you want to read on your own, he has a whole different. He basically says that there's a shayla in how high a fever is, that the halachas were machal Shabbos for someone that has fever. Even though he does write himself that sometimes fever is just an indicator that there's an infection, doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything, you know, terribly wrong or necessarily that you can't fast. But Lamaisa, he writes, others write that if a person has a certain level of fever, that they also perhaps would be allowed to eat. So that's something to keep in mind if someone is not feeling well over Yom Kippur. Again, all these shalas are complex with so many nuances. So the best idea would be if discuss it with a Rav as best as you can when the situation does arise. We will not be having shir now the way Yom Tov falls out until after Sukkot. Mr. Shem, the shir after Sukkot, I want to talk about being in a hospital over Shabbos. I got quite a few shalas, usually, hopefully for only good reasons about having babies, but sadly there are other shalas, and I just got a new safer on the topic, so it's very, very exciting with all the new technology. So, Mitzvah Shembli Neder, the Tuesday after Sukkot, we will discuss what you need to know when dealing with the hospital over Shabbos and Yom Tov.